With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
All right, 437-9680 is the text line number. Bunch of people reacting to a bunch of things we've talked about. And, of course, the audience turns over at the top of the hour. We are super grateful for those of you who kind of hang for long, extended periods of time. But most people, the average audience is about 15 minutes. So just a quick reset. Louisville Wake Forest tomorrow night. By the way, the pregame for that, the Coors Light pregame, starts at 5:30 on 93.9 The Ville. And the second Louisville Wake Forest is over, you will get the postgame show on 93.9 The Ville. But the Cards about 6.5, 7-point underdogs. Wake's Jamie Newman, Pro Football Focus, says he's the seventh best QB in college football. Wake has the number one and number three wide receivers in the ACC, statistically. That would not bode well for the Louisville defense. And if you've heard, and I'll get all my picks later, but Louisville is giving up 33 points a game to FBS teams. Why can't we just go 1A and 1AA? Whatever. FBS teams. Louisville's giving up 33 a game. You take out the Eastern Kentucky game against a team that didn't have the same number of scholarships as you. Louisville against teams that have the same number of scholarships as they do, they're giving up 33 points a game. Louisville's giving up 36 points a game to Power 5 teams. And Wake has the number 10 offense in the nation. I cannot imagine Wake not putting some points on the board. So the question is Louisville prepared to win a shootout? And against Boston College, they were. That's how they won the Boston College game. They won a shootout. And they passed the ball well, and they ran the ball well, and Conley was a revelation, and Mikael Cunningham continues to really be a very pleasant surprise for U of L. As we mentioned, he's up to number 5 in the nation in the passing efficiency at the QB position. So is Louisville ready to win a shootout with the Demon Deacons? I'm not sure. I do think, I've said it, Wake's projected point total, if you want to bet on it, is 35.5. I'll bet the over on that one for sure. And so, let's say Wake scores 40. I mean, Boston College scored 39. Let's say Wake scores 39. Can Louisville drop another 41 a second time in a row? It's possible, but Wake's defense is better than Boston College's defense. Boston College had one of the worst defenses in college football. So all those are reasons, by the way, that I think Wake wins the game. And if I had to bet it, I would probably take Wake and give the points. But I'm not going to bet that number because Louisville has shown an ability to be competitive in most games. They've been competitive in games that they end up not covering in. They were competitive in Florida State and didn't cover. They were competitive in Notre Dame, and that was a push, and depending on what number you had, didn't cover or did. That was right around the number. But they are a competitive team, and I think that's one of the things that's encouraging. Louisville has not given you a no-show performance yet this year. After an entire season of no-show performances last year, you haven't got a no-show. So I don't anticipate a no-show tomorrow night. That being said, every team no-shows at least once for a portion of the game. I mean, that's the other thing is, Louisville no-showed, let's be real, Louisville no-showed for the first quarter against Florida State. They absolutely no-showed. They did not show up for that game. They were not ready to play. Now, what's the credit to Satterfield is they were able to, within the game, make the adjustments and get things figured out. So it's not like Louisville has been ready to play and clicking on all cylinders in every game they've played. It's just that they have not done it for an extended period of time. They have found a way to be competitive. So I would envision, like, the numbers will tell me Wake is the 6.5-point favorite. I would bet Wake. But that the intangibles about Louisville just being a competitive program makes me think it's maybe close. And then also Wake Forest against Boston College. That same abysmal Boston College defense that we just witnessed, Wake only scored 27 points on them. And Wake Wake was outgained by Boston College by a significant amount. Wake only scored 24 against North Carolina. Wake is a type of offense that accumulates a lot of yards, and it doesn't always translate into a lot of points. If you take away their kind of one-off game against Elon, a 1AA team, and what does Wake average? 27, 24, 41, 30? You know, in the mid to upper 20s is them against teams that have the same number of scholarships as them. So they put up yardage, but it doesn't necessarily always translate to as many points as you would think. Like, as he said, Wake is 10th in the nation in total offense, but 30th in the nation in scoring. There's a difference there. So that would be the thing that would make me hopeful about Louisville, is that they play competitive games. They tend to kind of match their opponent, that their offense has seemed to be clicking lately, and that Wake, as good as they are offensively, they have shown that they lack some consistency and lack the ability to translate yards into points at all time. So what I'm telling you is I would not bet this game at all with a point spread number. I would bet Wake money line, and I would bet Wake over 35.5. That would be my wagers in that one. But what were Andy Sweeney made the good point. Tune into the take weekday afternoons 3 to 6. Mikhail Cunningham, win or lose, he should take this job. He should grab the job unless he's injured again. You should not. Now, it seems like Satterfield wants to play Conley a series every game. It seems like he just really, really likes Evan Conley. He did that in Boston College, even when Louisville had the lead. He's bringing in Conley. So I do expect to see both quarterbacks, but I would think that the goal for Louisville coming out of this is to stop having a deal where every week you go, who's the quarterback going to be? Which one of these three is it going to be? Blah, blah, blah. Where you just get Mikhail Cunningham healthy and let him play ball. So that's Louisville Wake. Kentucky, Arkansas. Again, we did a long segment with John Clay from the Herald Leader in the first hour. It was good stuff breaking down the Cats. I encourage you to go back to the podcast if you get a chance to catch that. He thinks they will start Sawyer Smith. I think they will start Lynn Bowden. The thing is, Kentucky coaches are not telling us anything. We have no way to know. I will say what I've been saying all week, that an injured Sawyer Smith does not give you the best chance to win. And whether he practiced all week, Puma Pass practiced all week before Boston College, Puma Pass practiced all week before Florida State. Practicing all week doesn't mean you're healthy. I don't believe Sawyer Smith can be healthy given the three injuries he had against South Carolina. And if Sawyer Smith is not 100% healthy, I think you hurt the team by playing him, because he showed against the Gamecocks that not 100%, he's just not good enough. Now, at 100% against Florida, he was good enough. So I think you hold that hope out and you try and get him healthy. And you play Lynn Bowden for as long as you can possibly play Lynn Bowden. And everyone says, and John agreed, you play a Wildcat QB and you can get away with it for one game. Well, get away with it for this game and let Sawyer Smith get healthy. And if for some reason you can't get away with it and you go 3 or 4 series as Lynn Bowden at QB and you're getting absolutely nothing, then maybe go to a less than 100% Sawyer Smith. Or maybe we see Walker Wood, and it's going to be the great shocking story. I don't know. But I would play Lynn Bowden. We'll see. John Clay said he didn't think there's going to be much crowd tomorrow night. There's really not a lot of enthusiasm around the program, and I don't blame fans. It's really hard to be enthusiastic about a football team that lost their starting quarterback and has played 2 absolute duds in a row in SEC play. But there is the Jared Lorenzen angle, so maybe that gets a few people out there, but it is going to be hard for Kentucky to really rally this fan base, but we'll see. A loss, though, a loss puts a bowl in serious question for UK, and a lack of a bowl for UK, even with the legitimate excuse of Terry Wilson, I just don't know how that doesn't just completely hamper all the recruiting momentum. That doesn't mean next year's UK team won't be okay and won't be predicted to win 7 games, because they'll get everyone back next year. I mean, they're barely losing anyone. So they will have a huge returning player angle, and the schedule will still include Vanderbilt, and the schedule will still include Tennessee and all that stuff. But you figure next year that Louisville's going to be better, and they replace Arkansas at home with Auburn on the road. That's an automatic loss. So they could still be a better team next year, but and a bowl projected team. But the idea that Kentucky had somehow taken a step, the 10 wins had represented some kind of significant permanence in changing the hierarchy of the SEC, I never believed it. I never believed it for 1 second. I spent the summer saying it was absurd that the hierarchy has not changed, that Kentucky has not taken a step. We will never know if they really had taken a step or not because of the Terry Wilson injury. Obviously, my analysis comes out as correct, that there's a massive massive step back, and last year looks like a fluke. But I get the Terry Wilson injury is a significant one, along with the Sawyer Smith, and you lose your top two QBs, although they haven't lost them yet. I will say that, what I said in the first hour. They haven't lost them yet. They haven't had to play a third QB yet. They've only played two QBs. Like, by the way, every team on their schedule. Florida's played two QBs. Louisville's played three QBs. Mississippi State's played two QBs. Vanderbilt's played two. Missouri's played two. Akron's played two. Toledo's played two. Everybody plays two QBs. Like, right now, Kentucky's not in any different spot than anyone else. They've played two QBs. Now, the question would be, if Sawyer Smith can't go and they're down to a third, and that's when the injury to Nick Scalzo and the poor recruiting slash management of that position, when that becomes a factor. But if they don't make a bowl, I think they lose all recruiting momentum. We talked a little bit about the decommitment of Jordan Watkins, and I said if you're just a player, an in-state player or an out-of-state player, and you're being pursued by Louisville and Kentucky, Louisville is a team that seems like it has a brighter future right now. That doesn't mean they're a better program than Kentucky right now, but it sure seems like they have a brighter future. They play in a league that right now looks like there's not any automatic losses on the schedule every year except for Clemson. So there's more hope from the league, and they feel like they're a team that's on the rise, and Kentucky feels like they're a team that's on the fall. So I will be watching very carefully UK's recruiting class, and especially the local kids who didn't give U of L the time of day when Petrino was there, because Petrino didn't give them the time of day. But all of a sudden, those guys, we've seen one local kid decommit. Will he be followed by others? And I don't know, but it's certainly a lot easier thing to imagine if Kentucky's 0-5 in the SEC, which is what they will be if they lose to Arkansas and Georgia. It's certainly easy to see a kind of avalanche developing with people saying, you know what, I'm not sure I want to be a part of that. Other things we briefly talked about in the first hour, ACC Media Day picks. Jordan Wara picked Player of the Year. Samuel Williamson didn't get a single vote for Freshman of the Year. Louisville as a team picked third in the ACC, which I thought was totally appropriate. Cardinals have not earned the benefit of the doubt in that league. In every other league they'd been in, they were the powerhouse, and they had earned the benefit of the doubt, whether it was the American or Conference USA or the Big East. They earned it, and therefore they got it. They have not earned anything in the ACC. 1 year in that league, they finished higher than fourth. So it does not surprise me, nor does it bother me, that Carolina and Duke would be picked ahead of them, even with projected worse rosters, because those teams have shown they can get it done and Louisville hasn't. So that's the deal with Louisville. The bigger question for Louisville than how they're going to do in the ACC this year, well, not the bigger question, but equally interesting, is the recruiting of Chris Mack. And this year's class just really seems like it is just not developing into what he wants. And again, another kid, and maybe he was never going to Louisville, I get it, but Devin Smith, another kid who had a Louisville offer and was at one point a target of theirs, he chose Mississippi State. So you look at the list of guys that Louisville's going after, and it just starts to dwindle. And I know there's the highest-ranked player Louisville's going after, and it doesn't seem to be anyone think they're going to get him, but is Adam Miller, a 6'3 shooting guard. He's 33rd in the lock posit. He has Louisville in his final six, but you go to his crystal ball, and everyone says Arizona State or Illinois. So fine, they don't get Adam Miller. The next highest is Josh Hall, a 6'9 small forward. He's got Louisville in his final 12. The next guy, he's 42nd in the lock posit, which new to the show. The lock posit is simply the average ranking of 24/7 Rivals and ESPN. I just average those three together. That's the lock posit. Josh Hall's 42nd. Cliff Omiyori is 47th. He's a top 50 kid that has a Louisville offer. He's got Louisville in his final 13. Thanks for really cutting the list down. Puff Johnson is a 6'7 small forward who haven't heard any buzz with Louisville, but he technically has an offer. But, I mean, at some point, then you're getting kids that are outside the top 50, and they're going to lose a lot of players on this team. They just need to replenish the roster. And at some point, they need to get some guys on there, and they need to be top 50 guys, right? I mean, I get it. There are schools that recruit not top 50 guys, and they're just fine, and Virginia's one of them. And then there are schools that recruit not top 50 guys, and that's what it looks like. And Indiana's one of those. And, you know, Virginia is an exception to most of college basketball's rules in terms of the way they recruit and the way they run their program. If you consistently have classes like Indiana's, you get results like Indiana's. So whatever. Chris Mack and recruiting is something that we're continuing to keep an eye on from the basketball front. But the other ACC stuff, they did a player survey. Stephen Enoch got a bunch of votes, tied for first, as a player who's not on your team who you wish was on your team, which I thought was insightful, that the players see something in Enoch. Wara and the kid from Notre Dame were the top vote getters, but Enoch was right there with them in this player survey. So these guys see some potential there, and that's encouraging for U of L fans. And then I encourage you to go read at News and Observer, the Raleigh News and Observer, this survey. A bunch of the players were asked, should college basketball players be paid? And it was not the unanimous yes that you would think it would be. There was a lot of, no, I think we're doing just fine as it is. Nick?
I'm sorry, I just got a text.
Okay.
A friend of mine is baking muffins, and they came out terrible.
Important for our audience.
Literally, well, my phone was just right here, and it blinked. And I always look at it because I think maybe it's a guest or something. And it was, so unfortunately, it sucks. Those muffins are bad. But when you said this story the first go around, was it wrong for me to be kind of snarky or cynical to think like that's because they're already getting paid? Like they're already getting what they need?
Yeah.
So it's
not snarky at all. No.
I always just kind of think like, I mean, for every story
Yeah, but you were given an opportunity to anonymously say, should you get more money to play college basketball? Why would you ever not say yes? It's anonymous. Even if whether you're getting paid or not getting paid, here's a reporter. And you will never, if you trust the reporter, I would assume there's some trust there. Why would you just never not say, yeah, I want to get paid? And my point I made in the first hour is it was not close to unanimous that these players, these are the ones who are supposedly exploited the absolute most. These are the ones the NCAA is doing the worst thing you can imagine to. And they came out and said, "You, we're getting a lot. We get free this, we get free that, we get meals, we get charter planes, we get medical care, we get gear." I mean, all the stories you've heard that those of us who are like, the pay the players thing is a little bit superficial and overblown and hypocritical and all that kind of stuff. But we get dismissed, oh, you're just selfish and whatever. Like, and again, I don't care. Pay the players on a free market basis. Pay the ones who earn it. So I'm totally good with name and likeness sales. But even that, some of these players are like, I'm good. I don't need any more. I am grateful for what I have. And that, to read that, it was just eye-opening. I'm not going to say that changed the term, to the tone of the conversation or anything else, but it is significant to me to hear current elite college basketball players and more than one say, no, I don't need to be paid because I already get a lot of stuff. It takes a little bit of a hit to the narrative of, whoa, these just poor, downtrodden kids. They all just want as much money as they can get out of the system. But anyway, I encourage you to read that article. And then the other one, we didn't talk about it yet in the first hour, but I think it's Stadium did the breakdown of the best jobs in the ACC. They ranked every head coaching job in the ACC, and the Louisville job was ranked second, the second best job in the ACC, which I thought was pretty interesting. And one of the things where it was number one was ease of academic admissions. And that is a factor. Like, when I always just say Louisville will never get into the ACC because academically they don't fit the profile of the other schools in the league. And obviously that was one of the things that Jim Ramsey did right. I give him credit. He convinced the other school presidents to take in a member who didn't fit the academic profile of the rest of the schools in the league. But once you're in, now it's easier to get into U of L than it is in any other school in the ACC. Chris Mack will never have to worry about admissions requirements to get a kid in. And schools like Duke is never going to have to worry. What am I kidding? I can't even believe I said that out loud. They'll rig the system. But schools like Virginia, North Carolina, others that have higher academic requirements, that is something that makes the job a little bit harder. But it was interesting. They ranked every school on facilities. Louisville was ranked as the best facilities in the ACC. On game day atmosphere, I think Louisville was ranked second behind Duke. On tradition, on everything else, and my computer is currently locked up because, of course, it is, as I try and give you the exact rankings. But anyway, Louisville was picked the second best job in the ACC behind only Duke, but ahead of North Carolina. This was a ranking system that says the Louisville basketball job is a better job than North Carolina. And I thought that was, again, something that was worth at least mentioning, if not, revisiting or taking a deeper dive.
Were there any
as
other
the season goes along?
Any other major things besides ease of academics, like that they really that really stood out?
Yeah, there were, just like, and it would be sure like nice if I didn't have the circle of death on my computer.
Oh,
that
you're
little.
Getting that.
It's still. It's just I have.
I was talking really slow.
No, it's not going to happen. I know my computer well enough. Now the application is not responding. The program may respond again if you wait. Do you want to end this process? No, I just want to get the damn link anyway. But so whatever.
Some
we'll
late
revisit.
Night downloads. I've been there, buddy.
Yeah. I have 27 tabs open. I'm sure that's not good for my computer.
Yeah, my iPad just went down. Like I had like 20% battery, and it was like all of a sudden I got the like 5% thing, and I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? And it was because I was. Yeah,
can you please put that? Thank you. No, what are you doing?
I got it.
Okay,
we're good.
Yeah. All right.
No, now it just doesn't ring. That's actually a little trick Patty Ice taught me. You might hang up on them, but you also will not have the ring.
All right.
But
437-9680. We tend not to take phone calls, caller. We tend to do texts, and I will eventually find this article that ranks the jobs. But Louisville's second. And the other thing we talk about in the first hour is Kentucky and Big Blue Madness and all the guys who are considering reclassifying and joining UK. Devin Askew is among them. Jonathan Kuminga, the number one player in the class of 2021, is considering a reclassification. Paolo Banchero is considering a reclassification. And we basically kind of said, how do you just decide you want to skip your senior year of high school? Like, is that something we should start to be concerned about, that people can just decide after they finish their junior year, you know what, I don't feel like playing my senior year. Let me just reclassify. And so we had a little bit of a conversation about that, which led to a few texts of like, the guy who graduated high school at 15 wants to, you know, not let kids out of high school early. First off, totally different things. As I said repeatedly, I went to 4 years of high school. I went to 4 years. So, there's a difference between being young when you graduate and literally not skipping years of high school. I skipped a year of elementary school. If you want to talk about reclassifying, yes, I reclassified as an elementary school student. So, yes, I would be a total hypocrite if I came out against that, because I did that. I skipped fourth grade. I went from third to fifth. I reclassified in elementary school. So if there's ever an argument and I say kids shouldn't be able to reclassify as elementary schoolers, you will get me on the hypocrisy card. You will not get me on the, I think it makes sense for kids to go to 4 years of high school. But the other thing, I don't, it doesn't really bother me. I just said, how does it work? Like, if you were in a JCPS school and you just decided after your junior year, yeah, I want to reclassify. And I just said, how is that possible? And a bunch of people are like, look, you know, even it's not as hard as you think. And even in Kentucky, there's only English is the only class that you're required to take 4 years worth.
So you just take
a summer English and you can do it. And even in Kentucky. So
do you leave with a GED then, or a high school diploma?
Who's that? The kids that reclassify? No, I think they graduate still.
You full on graduate? Yeah. You just graduate a year early, basically?
Yeah, you just graduate a year early.
That
seems
weird. Yeah, I was with you. My major question was just logistics, not morals.
Right. That's mine too. Like, it doesn't bother me that much. It's becoming so prevalent. Like, it is becoming every top player. The first question is, where are you going to go to school? And the second question is, are you going to reclassify? It's becoming so prevalent that you start going, is this something? Is it a problem? I'm asking. I'm honestly, many times I ask a question because I'm expressing an opinion in the form of asking a question. Right. That is not this case. I'm just, is that an issue that we should be concerned about, that just kids reclassify? And I know some of it is, by the way, they maybe were held back earlier because their parents wanted them to be their oldest in the class. So maybe they were held back and they're just catching up. I'm all good. I'm not against reclassifying. It just seems to be something that is really, really trending in a major way.
The only thing, and I'm not trying to be super morals man or anything like that, but I do think that kids need to have some form of education. And that was the only thing. If they're leaving with a high school diploma, then I don't see anything. I mean, I was more interested in the logistics of it, but if I had to look at the moral side, if they're leaving with a high school diploma, cool. But because a lot of these kids reclassifying are likely one and done, or not finishing their college degree. So suddenly it was like, okay, they don't have a college degree. Okay, fine. Hopefully, you know, they have that scholarship for life or whatever that UK provides them. But if they're going off into the adult world without even a high school diploma, that's almost like
Cannot get into college without a high school diploma.
Yeah, I wasn't what credentials you were actually leaving with. And if they're leaving with a GED and high school diploma, then I've got no problem.
All right,
you do you.
a bit of breaking news, and I think it's just somewhat interesting, and it's a shame, to be honest. They have canceled the swim portion of the Ironman Louisville, which is scheduled for Sunday, because of algae in the Ohio River. And this breaks my heart for the people who have trained for so long for this event to make it a kind of, you know, bucket list life event. The Ironman, for folks, everybody kind of knows what it is, but it's a 2.4-mile swim, followed by a 112-mile bike ride, followed by a marathon, 26.2-mile run. And you've got to train like a beast just to finish. You have 17 hours to finish. And anyone who does that has all my respect in the world. I mean, all my respect, because I know how much time goes into that. But last year, they shortened the swim from 2.4 miles down to 0.9 miles because of current in the Ohio River. And they still allowed it to be a qualifier for, like, the Ironman World Championships and everything else. But people who did it didn't really complete an actual Ironman because the swim was shortened. Now they're going to do it and not even have the swim portion at all, which to me is just a total buzzkill for the people that are in that, who have trained and everything. They've got to figure out if Louisville's going to continue to host this thing. And I know the Louisville Sports Commission does a great job, and I know Louisville has been a fantastic host site. But we're now two years in a row.
Schmidt.
Yeah, exactly, Carl. I know you're listening. Thank you. But, I mean, this is 2 years in a row this swim doesn't work. They've got to figure out a way. Do this. I don't know. You can't do the swim somewhere else, but I don't know what you can do. You've got to, you know, in this case, and I guess this came up too late, put some filters in to create a part of the Ohio River that filters out the algae.
Get a bunch of the little algae eaters.
I mean,
the fish,
yeah. And the current,
tanks.
I don't know how you can fix that other than, you know, install a temporary dam or something, which would be violently expensive, I'm sure. But, I mean, you can't be a host site for the Ironman if you can't ensure you can do the swim.
Yeah,
like, unfortunately, you got
a third of it.
Exactly. So it's a big news story, and you'll have coverage on Spectrum News 1 today throughout the course of the day.
Shout out.
But anyway, but that is a
maybe
that's
they,
a tough
they do break. It at like Nolan Lake or some lake nearby, yeah. And then just do the bike ride. It's a straight shot bike
ride.
Well,
that's the thing. That's not a bad thought. You do it, and it's a 112-mile bike ride. Just bike from like Taylorsville Lake into Louisville and then do the marathon that way. Like,
yeah.
Logistically,
sure, that's a ton of streets you got to cover.
That's a tough ask, I get.
That was always my one thing why I respected the Ironman, but teeny part of me hated it, and it's not their fault.
Because they closed down so many streets.
We work right between the two places that they go. So it was, oh man, parking was a bear and everything. But yeah, but I was like, I know I'm in a minority. I'm just like,
people in Oldham County that are on the bike route, you know, they couldn't get into there. There's always the complaining, and I get it. But
I don't want to turn into a Topgolf person. Be like, you know, the 1% of the 1% that has a bright light in their backyard and poo-poos the whole damn thing.
Right.
But no. Yeah, it made for a very difficult one day, but I do kind of wonder logistically if they did exactly that, our idea, how many roads would have to get closed or anything, because that just seems like it. I mean, you have what, 140 miles to play with, basically?
Yeah.
A marathon and a bike.
But you want the marathon to be downtown. You want that to be in Louisville.
So the last 6 miles?
You could do a swim anywhere within 112 miles of Louisville.
Yeah.
And just make the bike whenever you get out of that lake, Nolan Lake or Taylorsville Lake or whatever.
You really need 10 miles tops. Like, for the city portion of it.
Saying the marathon.
That's an additional 20 miles probably you could play with. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm acting like I'm, you know, Carl Schmidt's probably calling me, yeah, jackass.
We're going to shut down an interstate for you jokers, you know?
Good job, guys.
Hell, make the Louisville Loop. Let's get that involved.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
But look, this thing happened too late for them to do anything, and so I get it. My take for today is more, it's a shame. But going forward, they're going to have to be prepared for contingencies because that is just a real buzzkill. All right, you can take a timeout, come back, text or rock into 437-9680. Text right here, LOL at the academic standards of North Carolina. Point well taken. Very well taken. I should have realized
that
as I was
actually
saying it. Is that what they wanted to say?
I might have to go back to the tape and get that as a rejoin. That might be pretty awesome.
It is hard to get into North Carolina. Once you get in, you don't have to go to class, and they'll fake class you all the way to a sham degree. But it is difficult to get in, I will say that. All right, we'll come back with more on the Midday Rush.
You're listening to the Midday Rush with Lachlan McLean.
The guy that
Muhammad invented the tent. He claimed to be an engineer, but it was later found that he never even owned a train. So that was debunked.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, welcome back to Midday Rush on ESPN 680 1057. I'm Lachlan McClain. Lock Talk on Twitter, LACHTALK. Don't forget, we're brought to you by Sternberg Automotive. That is Sternberg Chevrolet, 6600 Dixie Highway, and Sternberg Truck and Van Rental, which has two area locations, Crittenden across from the fairgrounds, and Middletown, the new one on Shelbyville Road, just inside the Gene Snyder. So we thank them. We'll be out at the Dixie Highway Sternberg Chevrolet next Wednesday. So come on out and say hello. Again, a U of L pregame and postgame coverage on 93.9 The Ville this weekend. The Coors Light pre- and postgame show, pregame at 5:30, postgame the second the game ends. For Kentucky, Arkansas, it's the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance postgame show as soon as the Cats are done with Arkansas, and that is hosted by James Strebel right here on ESPN 680. Sunday night, so we've got the Ravens, and we have the Colts as well. The Colts are off, sorry. So we do not have the Colts on 680, but we normally do, but Sunday, we've got Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Bengals, and Ravens, and that one's at 12:30, presented by Liquor Barn. Download their app and have Liquor Barn deliver to you. And Molly Malone's the official Lamar bar all season long. Sunday night on 93.9 The Ville will be NFL Sunday Night Football, Steelers and Chargers. Over on 680-1057, not over, that's what you're listening now, the NLCS playoffs start tonight, Nats and Cardinals at 7. Saturday, we got a bunch more playoff games, including Nats-Cardinals, Yankees-Astros. That continues Sunday as well. Your home of the Major League Baseball playoffs, ESPN 680 and 105.7. All right, 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. Thanks to everyone who has weighing in throughout the course of the show. Just did want to follow up briefly. I found the list of ranking the ACC jobs and the different things they rank them on. This was stadium, and this is where Louisville ended up as the second-best job in the ACC. And it is kind of silly, I'm going to be honest, to even put admission requirements as a category for ranking a job. There's no job in the ACC that you can't get in a player who you want to get in. And I understand it says that Notre Dame has the toughest admission requirements in the ACC, and Wake Forest is second toughest, and Duke is third, and Virginia's fourth. Look, all those schools, if they want to get a kid in, they can get a kid in basketball. Football, maybe it's a different story, but in basketball, you can get in. So you should just throw that one out there. But the other thing they have schools ranked on, history and tradition. They have North Carolina 1, Duke 2, Louisville 3 as history and tradition in the ACC. I don't know. I guess that makes sense. I wonder if Syracuse fans might have a little gripe, but okay. Media exposure, they have Duke 1, North Carolina 2, Louisville 3, Syracuse 4. That makes sense. Game atmosphere, they have Duke 1, Syracuse 2. That one I would quibble with. Louisville 3. Budget and resources, they have Duke 1, Louisville 2, North Carolina 3. Recruiting base, they have Duke 1. Tied with North Carolina, it looks like. And then they have NC State third in recruiting base and Georgia Tech fourth. Louisville seventh in that one. That's where the worst category in terms of evaluating the job is recruiting base for Louisville. Facilities, they have Louisville number one. They have Virginia number two, by the way. Don't sleep on UVA's John Paul Jones Arena and their facilities. Number two in the ACC. And then selling pros, the ability to tell recruits that being able to sell not only NBA players, but those who play overseas. And the number one for selling pros, Duke. Number two, North Carolina. Louisville is number four. Syracuse, number three. Louisville, number four. Anyway, you put all the things together, and they say Duke is the best job in the ACC, and Louisville just edges North Carolina as the second best. But again, if I'm a Tar Heel fan, the reason Louisville edges them is because North Carolina, Louisville comes in number one in easiest admission requirements, and North Carolina comes in number nine. And that's absurd. A, North Carolina has no academic integrity. We know all that. But B, that admission requirements aren't a factor in recruiting athletes. So if you took that out, then Louisville would be the third best job. But anyway, there's that list from Stadium. You can check it out at watchstadium.com. Virginia, by the way, was the sixth best job in the ACC, but again, weighed down by admission requirements, which is kind of silly. All right, I did want to kind of finish up that basketball conversation that we were having earlier. Couple quick texts. We were talking again them canceling the swim portion of the Ironman, which again is a real shame. I know that's such a big event for this city and has been done really well, and they have a bunch of volunteers and all this other stuff, but they algae in the water. And we were saying, why don't they just do the swim at like Nolan Lake or Taylorsville Lake, and then they have a 112-mile bike ride built in. Just bike from there. Texter says the problem is then your car is 100 miles away. I was like, oh, yeah, good point. Didn't think about that. It'd be massive shuttles to get the folks back there. Text line, this year's marathon course has changed. They're extending, and I did read that story. It's not going to go, it's not, they wanted less roads that they had to shut down for police presence and everything else. So it's more of a loop that's around downtown, less, but still, the bike course is still 112 miles all over the place. So that still impacts a bunch of people, certainly in Oldham County. Yeah, it says, I mean, Oldham County, I get the complaints. I mean, I'm sorry, there's none, I'm sympathetic. But I don't know how you get around it. But this texter says, I live in the Grange. It takes an hour to drive a half mile that day. Yeah, that's a day you got to decide not to leave your house, which is kind of unfair to you, but that's the way life works. 437-9680, what's your thought about Purdue not letting students bet on the school? I think it's idiotic. Students are going to bet anyway. If it's legal in Indiana, let them do it. All you're doing is encouraging behavior onto a black market, which is going to be worse and less regulated, and you make less money. It's a pointless gesture. That's my thought. Texter, not trying to be a homer, but doesn't it make sense that the possible punishments coming to Louisville basketball could be hurting recruiting? Askew said that was a concern for him with Kansas. I've got to imagine it is with Louisville as well. No, you're not trying to be a homer. You're 100% right. That is an angle that is not getting talked about enough. The pending punishments coming down on Louisville, the staff has done a great job taking it out of the minds of the front of the minds of the fan base, and they don't talk about it, and they minimize it, and they dismiss it, and that's awesome. That's what they should be doing. The recruits, it's got to be on their mind. It's got to be on their mind that if you come to Louisville, you're not guaranteed to play in the NCAA tournament. Has to be on their mind. And absolutely, I believe, is tangibly impacting this recruiting class for Chris Mack. Not that they would ever admit it. Not that they ever would acknowledge it. They are desperately trying to just make that a non-story. But absolutely, absolutely is a factor, and it's a good text. Texter, man, I love me some Louisville lock. Well, that's nice. I get criticized 9 out of 10 texts, but so it's good to read one that actually likes me. All right, a bunch of more good texters. I appreciate it. I wish I could have gotten to more. We'll keep working on it. But it is time for you to make money, because I'm on a roll, people. I'm like butter on a biscuit, or spread me out. I don't know what the hell the analogy I was going with there. But what is something you put on a roll?
Butter.
You put butter.
You just don't say it like a timid two-year-old.
So right? I'm like butter. I'm on a roll. That's what I meant to say.
You know, I'm making fun of you, but now I'm all messed up. I forgot what the saying is. I apologize.
Whatever the saying is, I finally had a good week in picking games last week.
That man butter because he's on a roll, something like that.
I went 3-1-2 against the spread last week, which absolutely made you money. I gave you the Patriots last night as a locks lock. So maybe I won my poker game last night.
Oh my God.
I beat everybody. One poker. I went
taking everyone's money.
I mean, it was pure luck. I mean, the dumbest all in. Really early, I called an all-in with jacks, and my jacks cracked aces, which, I mean, I did not deserve. I deserved to be out super early, but, like, once I did that, I was cruising from there. So I was, like, dumb and lucky, story of my life. But then a little bit of skill after that, which is also the story of my life. So I'm on a gambling roll is the point I'm trying to tell you guys. So let's keep it going right now. Play the Sounder for Locks Locks.
Stone Cold Lock of the Century.
There we go. All right, locks, locks. And again, now I got to look at what my record was. I was one game over 500, and I gave you New England last night, so I'm two games over 500, whatever that is. I think it's like 15-13-1 or something. I'll get
it's
you.
It's a winning record.
It's a winning record. That's all that matters. It's not as good as Diener and Blankenbaker, they're each like Diener's 29-1. 20 wins, 9 losses, a tie. Not 29-1. That would be. Although the dude in the super contest, you guys follow this in Vegas, they have a super contest. You pay $5,000 and you pick 5 NFL games a week. And at the end, that it gives out millions of dollars because it's a big money pool. Some dude in the first quarter of the super contest is 19-1 against the spread.
Holy,
it's like unbelievable. In picking NFL games, 19-1. Like, wow.
That's unreal.
Yeah, that really is unreal, to be honest with you. But anyway, I'm not in it. But Drew is 29-1. Blankenbaker's 19-9-2. I'm giving them props. They are better than me, but I'm making a pledge. Here I am. For the year, I'm 17-15-2. So we're going to get it going, though. Virginia, +2.5 at Miami. I made a pledge not to bet on Virginia or Kentucky or Louisville. I'm too close to it. I'm sorry. This is too golden of an opportunity. I know it seems like a trap, and they're begging you. And why is Virginia an underdog at Miami? And the answer is, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. There's some kind of power rating nonsense. You just have to just take the easy money they're giving you. The other thing, I looked at the Sagarins, by the way. The Sagarin predictor rating has Miami favored over Virginia. The Sagarin overall rating, which also includes recency and some other things, has Virginia 5 points better than Miami on a neutral field. So it's not like there's some secret sauce or anything. Virginia is better than Miami. Sports happens. You can't guarantee anything. Virginia is better than Miami. And Miami's home field isn't worth squat because no one shows up for their games. Virginia getting 2.5 is a good bet. And anytime you get a good bet, even if your heart or it seems too good to be true or whatever, I'm taking the too good to be true 2.5. Give me the Wahoos. I've been talking about it all week. Wake Forest over 35.5 points. Louisville has given up 33 a game to FBS competition, has given up 36 a game to Power 5 competition. Wake has the number 10 offense in the nation, and they've got an especially good passing game, and the Louisville secondary has shown weakness. Louisville can win this game. Louisville can keep this game close. Louisville can cover, but I don't see Louisville stopping Wake Forest to the point that they can't get 35.5. So give me Wake Forest over 35.5. Conversely, Kentucky under 30.5. I don't understand where this number comes. This is another one that seems too good to be true. In Kentucky's 3 SEC games, they've gone 21, 13, and 7 points. They're barely averaging mid-teens in SEC play, and Arkansas's defense is not like it's not. It'd be one thing if like Kentucky was playing Boston College from last week. Arkansas's defense is 75th in the nation. It's not great, but it's not horrific. Arkansas's scoring defense, they're giving up 28 a game, and Kentucky, more importantly than anything, doesn't have a quarterback. It's either an injured Sawyer Smith or a wide receiver playing quarterback. And you're telling me they're going to get 30 points? No, they're not. They're negative. It's going to be. I mean, again. It just seems like it's really obvious to me. The Kentucky offense has been sputtering, and there's no reason to think they've figured things out as the QB position gets even more uncertainty. Give me Kentucky under 30.5. Two more? I got a bunch on here. I really want to take Maryland -3.5 at Purdue. That's one.
It's a free country.
No, that's one where it does look too good to be true. That's one where I am going to stay away. I'm just giving you this as a heads up. I'm really tempted to take Maryland -3.5 at Purdue because Purdue is just, unfortunately for Jeff Brohm, in a free fall. That one, the number's gone down. It opened Maryland 4.5, and it's gone down to 3.5. Purdue has no quarterback, no Rondell Moore, worst offense in the Big Ten, worst defense in the Big Ten. Maryland can put up points. There's something weird there. I'm not going to stay away from Virginia-Miami because it's weird. I'm staying away from that, but I'm just telling you, I won't blame you to take Maryland -3.5. I am going to take Indiana. What the hell? The Hoosiers -28 at home against Rutgers. Rutgers is abysmal. I mean, it's hard to describe how abysmal Rutgers is. They're just a program that's given up on the season. Remember, they had the two players, their best runner, and I think it was a quarterback, who said after 4 games, we're just calling it. We don't want to be a part of this. Then they had another quarterback, I think, retire this week. Like, said he was too injured. He, like, not retire, but, like, I'm hurt. Rutgers is just horrible. The analogy is Rutgers, I think, played TCU earlier in the year. Do I have this right? I'm getting sometimes my games confused. And they lost like 34 to nothing. It's that, and they were a big underdog, and they just got smashed. That's what Rutgers is, if I'm thinking of the right team. I've looked up so many games. Just give me Indiana minus 28. I'm worried about the push, but whatever. And then I'll take Wisconsin minus 10 at Michigan State. You got to find the 10 somewhere. It's 10.5 a lot of places. But Michigan State, and I did not see this, and props to Aaron Torres. Michigan State has played 6 weeks in a row. This will be the seventh week in a row Michigan State has played without a rest. And it's a road game after they played Ohio State. And the Michigan State offense is no good anyway. They're desperately trying to get to a bye. They're just not that good. Wisconsin's defense is lights out. So I'll take Whiskey minus 10 against Michigan State. So here we go. Locks. Virginia plus 2.5 at Miami. Wake Forest over 35.5. Kentucky under 30.5. These are point totals for both those schools. Give me Indiana minus 28 at home against Rutgers, and give me Wisconsin minus 10 at home against Michigan State. And just for a little extra bonus, a tease of the week where I tease a bunch of games because I like the number, but I don't like it quite enough to bet. I'm going to take Indiana and Wisconsin, the two games that I gave you at the end that I'm least sure of. I'm going to put those in a 7-point tease along with Utah minus 14 at Oregon State. Oregon State's only turned the ball over once all year. That is fluky. To go through this many games and only have one turnover. So you figure they get a couple more turnovers and Utah can take advantage. If you do a three-team 7-point tease, you get Utah minus 7, you get Indiana minus 21, and you get Wisconsin minus 3. You put all those three together and you get that at plus 130 on a 7-point tease. That is Locke's Tease of the Week. I'll put all this stuff on Twitter if you're having trouble keeping up. But I wish I had the more specifics on the IU Rutgers, but just Rutgers is bad. It's just a bet that Rutgers is bad and has given up on the season. So good luck to you in your wagering exploits. Good luck to me keeping my hot streak going. Good luck to Louisville and Kentucky, obviously, tomorrow night. And we'll see how that shakes out. Big Blue Madness tonight. Our guy Cooper Hessen is going, so he'll have stories to tell, I'm sure, on Monday. Good luck to all the Ironman Louisville participants. I'm so sorry about the swim getting canceled because of the algae. Whose birthday is it? Is that his birthday music?
It is. Oh. You know whose birthday it is?
Yours?
No.
Oh.
Thanks for paying attention. That was 2 years. There, 2 months ago.
It was two years ago.
I'm basically Pluto.
Thank you for paying attention.
2 years. Yeah. No, it's ESPN 680, 105.7. Well, 680's 9 year birthday. 9 year anniversary.
9 years
of us
today?
Going on the air, yes.
Really?
Yes.
I love that.
Nine. One more, and we're the big.
My God, and look
decade.
At the progress we've made. Cue the Jason Anderson soundbite that he never wanted us to play about.
We were like in a closet and stuff?
No, the one where he was telling, you leave the management to me. I've taken this from a startup station to number one in the market. You know, that one that he just hated
when
he us playing.
That should be the official birthday sounder.
It really
should.
It really should. He just cringes every time he hears it.
Oh, man.
All right, the V Show is on deck. We've got a Sports Center coming up, so the dulcet tones of one Nick Valvano. The Take follows that from 3 to 6. And, again, we are your home for Major League Baseball playoffs and UK postgame here on ESPN 680 over on 93.9 The Ville. It's the Ravens. It's Sunday Night Football, and it is good times to be had. Until the next time, don't drive slowly in the left lane. Thanks for listening to the Midday Rush.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.